Trading in futures products entails significant risk of loss, which must be understood prior to trading and may not be appropriate for all investors.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, February 12th, 5:26 a.m. Central Time. Grain markets are mixed this morning. March corn futures up 1.5 at 4:30.5. March soybeans up 4.5 at 11:88. March Chicago wheat down 4.25 at 592.5. March Kansas City wheat down 3.75 at 597.75. March spring wheat down 2 at 582.25. Let's start off with the soybean market, which has sucked like a lot recently.
Last week, the soybean market marked its 8th consecutive week of losses, its longest losing streak since 2006. Spot futures posted their lowest close since November of 2021. The price decline is attributed to record high global stockpiles and poor U.S. exports. Prices have also fallen due to Brazilian soybeans trading at a large discount to U.S. prices. Last week, the USDA increased this season's global ending stock forecast to 116 million tons, an all-time high.
Okay, let's start off. I got a few charts. Let's start off with that global ending stocks forecast. So yes, 116 million metric tons would be an all-time high if confirmed. The better way, however, to gauge the supply and demand situation is not through just the ending stocks number. That's an arbitrary number. You've got to gauge ending stocks versus total usage, and the stocks to use ratio is a much better way. But still, you're looking at a 30% global stocks to use ratio if USDA is correct, and that would be the second highest in the last 24 years, second highest only behind, I believe, the 18-19 marketing year. Now, the one thing that's interesting is what we talked about on Friday, USDA versus CONAB and the Brazil situation. There's a 10 million metric ton difference between the two entities when it comes to, it's not 10, it's like 6 points. It's like 6.6. And 6.6 million metric tons is like 240 something million bushels, I think. So there's a big discrepancy between what the USDA has out there. And that's what I've got on this chart, is the USDA figures all together. This could be different if CONAB and if the other private groups are right. And when you go to this weekly soybean chart, yeah, it's been down and out. 8 weeks in a row, lowest trade since November of 2021 for spot futures. You look at this chart just in a big picture fashion, and that's an area of interest, certainly. Those lows from November 2021 or December 2021, maybe that's a support area, maybe it's not, but I think it's an area that some people are watching. You look at the corn market, and it's been also very, very bad. Lowest trade on a continuation basis since December of 2020, late last week. And I threw this chart together, which I thought was interesting. So this is the price of corn plus soybeans plus SRW wheat monthly continuation. And what we can hope, this is the optimistic view, and this is not a trade recommendation or anything. You can hope that that old area of resistance, which was when you combine the three, like $20 a bushel up to 22, you hope that that old area of resistance is a new area of support. And if it's not, we've got some big problems here, because you would hope that, post-COVID, everything else on the planet is 30% more expensive than it used to be. You would hope that we don't go back to like pre-COVID low type levels. So this is something that I know a lot of people are watching, and I hope that we can hold that sort of area, because if we don't, it's very much problematic.
Fund traders continue to hold a historically large net short position across the grain complex. CFTC released weekly commitment of traders data on Friday. During the week ending February 6th, the funds were net sellers of 14,000 contracts of corn. The net short of 294,000 contracts is the largest since mid-2020. Funds were net sellers of 20,000 contracts of soybeans. The net short of 121,000 contracts is the largest since early 2020, and funds were net sellers of 2,000 contracts of SRW wheat on the week.
These are some extreme net short positions in the row crops, not so much in SRW wheat. Here's an updated version of this chart, the fund position combined corn, soybeans, and SRW wheat. So the only time funds had a bigger net short in the last 10 years was like mid-2019, but this is extreme stuff. And this has, I would imagine, worked out fairly well for the fund trader. The markets continue to move lower, and in almost every instance, they've been able to roll their short positions forward into big carries, which is advantageous for them. So they don't see a reason to get out right now. And we hope that they find a reason to get out, but we haven't seen one yet.
So if you guys have not checked out our premium content, you need to do so. Joe, can you tell me about some videos you put together last week?
Report day is a good day to be a subscriber. So I do a USDA snapshot video, which is like a 3 or 4 minute video that I blast out within 15 or 20 minutes of the release. Just gives you the big picture stuff that you need to know about the report. That's every USDA report day. Also, we did Macro Friday with Jim Urio on Friday. We talked about how the debt is growing faster than the economy. We talked about some of the things Jerome Powell said recently. Jerome Powell himself, he was on 60 Minutes, actually appears to be very much concerned about this. And I don't know if he's probably more concerned than he actually let on, because, you know, he can't tell you what he actually thinks. But I thought it was interesting stuff. If you guys want to see the premium stuff, there is a new video every single business day. Our morning email is jam-packed full of info. That goes out at 5 a.m. Central Time every single business day. If you sign up this morning, I will forward you a copy of this morning's email. It includes the 6 most recent premium videos. This is a $50 per month subscription. You can cancel at any time. No other fee, no other obligation. Nobody will try to sell you anything else. This is the best and really only way to support what we're doing here. YouTube pays us next to nothing. The podcast pays us $0. We have no sponsors. So everything we do here is sponsored by you guys. So if you're a premium sub, we love you. If you're not, you should absolutely check it out this morning.
Hot and dry conditions caused 2 more agribusiness firms to reduce their forecast for Brazil's soybean crop on Friday. Safras and Mercado are projecting the crop to total 149.1 million tons. The estimate is down from the firm's projection of 151.4 million tons last month and down 5.5% compared to last year's crop. Another firm, Cogo, reduced its forecast for the crop to 148.5 million tons. Last month, the agribusiness firm estimated the crop at 155.2 million tons.
I've never heard of that second group. But in any case, USDA is on an island all by themselves with that 156 estimate. And maybe they're just slow playing it, or maybe they're just going to stay separate from the rest of the world as they've done with the Brazilian corn crop for a while. So I don't know what to make of it. Looking at the forecast to start the week, I would call the forecast mostly benign. That's what I wrote in the newsletter this morning, and that's kind of the way that it looks. There's going to be some drying in some areas of Brazil here for a couple days, but then you've got rains returning after that. Argentina is pretty similar. They've even got some rains here during the next 5 days, and then some heavier stuff through the 10-day period. I think the question when it comes to weather right now is, how big of an impact did the dry start have in Brazil? What sort of impact will that have ultimately on yields? We can't know that yet. And then, you know, you've got the second corn crop in Brazil that's being planted. If you run into a weather hiccup there, I think the market would take notice. We just haven't really had that yet.
On Friday, Russia avoided a Ukrainian drone attack targeting Russian civilian cargo vessels in the Black Sea. The strike took place in the southwest region of the Black Sea, a crucial location for both nations' exports of oil and grain. According to the Russian Defense Ministry, Russian warplanes and patrol boats destroyed Ukraine's drones. The ministry also reported that Russian civilian and military vessels were not damaged during the strike.
I want to mention this real quick. We talked on Friday, and I asked Brian if he watched the Putin interview with Tucker. Mm-hmm. And I think some people thought that, like, I was being supportive of Putin or something, and I am not. I think it's okay to believe 2 things: that Putin is evil and crazy and probably lied about half of the things he said in that interview, but also that maybe the US and our spending as it relates to Ukraine needs to be addressed in some way, shape, or form, because we're broke. But in any case, the markets did not react to this attack over the weekend. Wheat is lower this morning, so zero reaction here. The news out of the Black Sea has been largely bearish. Russia continues to reduce its export pricing, and it's just caused problems for the U.S.
Inflation during December was lower than originally reported. On Friday, the December CPI was revised to show a 0.2% increase on the month, down slightly from the originally reported 0.3% rise. The adjustment reconfirmed that inflation was easing as 2023 came to an end. Traders expect the Fed will hold rates steady at their upcoming March meeting and cut rates at their May meeting. January CPI data will be released tomorrow morning at 7:30 Central Time. On a monthly basis, CPI is projected to have increased by 0.1% last month.
Yeah, so I think they're looking for headline tomorrow at 3.8. I think it was 3.9 the prior week. The stock market posted fresh all-time highs again on Friday. In regard to the Fed, there is now an 85% chance that they leave rates unchanged in March, according to the CME Fed Fund tool. So that narrative has changed quite a bit. What did cattle do on Friday?
Cattle futures were mostly lower on Friday. Feeders were down $1.47 to 30 cents higher. Live cattle were down 12 cents to 85 cents higher. Cash cattle trade was light last week, although it was much higher on the week. Across all regions, we saw cattle trade at 182, which was about $4 higher week over week. Box beef prices rose modestly last week. Choice ended Friday at 294.04. That was up 96 cents on the week. Select closed at 285.08. That was up $1.61 on the week.
Outside markets on Monday, U.S. dollars about flat, stocks are about flat, bonds are close to flat, crude oil is down 70 cents in the March WTI at 76.13, so pretty quiet. Have a great week, guys. We will talk to you on Tuesday.